It was 22nd of August last year, 2010, that there was a catastrophic cave-in deep underground in the San Jose copper gold mine in the Alcatan Desert in northern Chile. Can you lift it up for me? There were two groups of miners working that day, and one of them got out. The other one was trapped 700 meters, that's 2,500 feet underground. That's a long way. The deepest mines in Yorkshire are generally around about 300 feet. There's one, the Barnsley Seam, which is 1,000. But this is a long, long way down. And the miners who worked there were paid extra because it was known to be dangerous. And basically, they gave up hope. Nobody expected them to survive. But if you remember, about a year ago, Chile had an earthquake and a tsunami. And there was a public outpouring of sympathy for the miners. And so the government stepped in and took over the mine. And very quickly, they drilled 8 exploratory boreholes. Quite astonishingly, 17 days, 2.5 weeks. Can you imagine? After being locked down, and for the searchers to be searching, a note written in bold red letters appeared, taped to the drill bit. It said, "Estamos bien en refugio los 33, whatever 33 is in Spanish. Which means something like, we're all well, we're in the shelter, the 33, and they became famous. And so the rescuers sort of thought, wow, we got them. They implemented a comprehensive rescue plan. It included the deployment of 3 large drilling rig teams, nearly every government ministry, the expertise of NASA, more than a dozen international companies, and spending about $20 million. 69 days later, all 33 men, as we saw then, were brought to the surface on the 13th of October. And as the last one went to the surface, the rescuers who were still underground held up that sign that said, "Misión cumplida," mission accomplished, Chile. I don't know if you watched that. More than 1 billion people around the world watched that. Did you? Anybody see that? I was watching it. Yeah, you remember it. Can you imagine what it must have been like for the miners down there? Darkness. At that point, when it went dark, no way out, hardly any supplies, no communication, silence. What are they thinking? Can we get out? Can they do anything? Is anyone looking? Does anyone care? Whatever it costs, am I worth it? There's a book out about God. It's his book. And in it, as Ben was saying, there's a story. It's a rescue story. It starts in Genesis in chapter 3, where there's a picture of him in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. And he's walking in the garden saying, "Where are you?" A few thousand years later, the people of Israel, his people, are locked up in slavery in Egypt. And it says, God heard their groaning, looked on them, and was concerned. Another 1,000 years later, the people of Israel were in desperate states, and Hosea records God saying, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and now I'm going to rescue them." And you remember that famous encounter Jesus had with the religious leader, in John 3:16, where he says to the guy who wants to know how to be saved, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to save the world." It's a story of a loving God who comes looking for us, who finds us in deep trouble and does everything, drops everything to come and rescue us. He launches a rescue bid. He pushes out the lifeboat. He dispatches the SAS rescue team. He pays the bail to spring us from jail. He's the God who shines a torch into the deepest darkness until he can bring us into the light. The searcher who will drill as many boreholes as it takes to find us. See, our God is not a hidden, distant God who leaves us to panic in quiet, lonely desperation, in darkness. No, he's a very present, very loving God who's coming for us, searching for us, doing everything to rescue us. I doubt if anybody here has been trapped like those miners were, and hopefully ever will be. But here's the thing. Without God, every one of us is trapped in a spiritual darkness just like that, worse than that. Every one of us needs rescuing from a meaningless separation from our loving Creator. I know many of you here, and I know your rescue stories. We've had a few of them published on the website this week. You may have read them. There'll be people here I don't know, and you've got your own rescue stories. And there'll be people here trapped in loneliness, trapped in illness, or in debt. And maybe you've been released from those things. Addictions. Maybe there's something in your life of shame which holds you back. Worry. Are you trapped in worry? Are you an anxious person? Maybe your prison is one of unfaithfulness. In a society where we don't place great store by faithfulness, and that's been your prison, and you need to be set free from that. Maybe you have been. Maybe that's your rescue story. Let me read you some of the rescue stories people put up on the website. Jesus has rescued me from a life with no purpose, direction, or real meaning into a life with purpose, significance, and a hope for the future. That's a good rescue story. Here's another one. I was once imprisoned in a world of self-harming acts and suicidal tendencies. Jesus delivered my mind from its torment and set me free to think clearly and be able to receive his words of life to me. He brought me out of the darkest place and into the light, where I found the hope to live life to the full and delight in it. Here's another one. Jesus rescued me from a deep fear for the future of my family, fear for my brother. I started to have pains in my chest, which completely went after I'd surrendered the fear to Jesus. So another one. Jesus has rescued me from hopelessness. He is not just a nice little Bible story. Even when, at the time, I wasn't aware of his presence, he was with me as a 15-year-old and could heal the hurts I had back then, now. He is mighty and very much alive. Lots of rescue stories. Maybe you're just trapped knowing that God isn't in your life. You feel abandoned. It's all rather dark and getting desperate. Almost all of us feel trapped in that way at some point. How you would love to be rescued. How you'd love to be hoisted in one of these up into the light and to the safety. Is it possible? How could I possibly get rescued? See, our prison, what keeps us from knowing that freedom of life with God, is sin. That's what the Bible calls it. It's what happens when we do our own thing, when we walk our own way rather than towards and with God. Sin separates us from him, from the one who's searching for us and who loves us. How do we get rid of that sin? How do we get rid of the blockage? We can't. Just as the miners couldn't dig their way out, we can't get out of this one either. He has to do it, and he has. And Easter is all about remembering that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, who was the most free man ever to walk the face of the earth, is God's son. And that he sacrificed his life to clear that blockage that is sin. The price has been paid. The hole has been dug. You can be forgiven and rescued. Jesus has taken our place. He allowed himself to be imprisoned. He allowed himself to be cut off from his heavenly Father, from the land of the living. And then, against all expectation, astonishingly, 3 days later, God smashes the power of death and destroys that deadly suffocation of our three-dimensional ordinary lives, ordinary world, by bringing Jesus back to a new life forever. And God loves you enough, he comes after you to launch a rescue mission, to sacrifice his own son, and then through the power of the resurrection, to explode new life into your soul. How must those miners have felt? Can you imagine expecting to end their lives buried in the nighttime? No future, no way out. And then they hear the sound of drilling. Can you imagine the celebration? The shouts, the jumping about, the waving of hands in the air. And someone is looking for you. Can you hear the sound of the drilling? Someone is doing everything he can to take everything it takes to rescue. There's a mission underway for you. So you can shout and celebrate and jump about and wave your hands. Even in England, even in Yorkshire. Jesus' hands are stretched out for you. And I invite you to welcome his rescue mission. Climb into the capsule. Don't be too proud of yourself. Don't be too sure of yourself. Don't consign yourself to a hopeless darkness. Take the offer of forgiveness and new life and a fresh start. So on this day, when we celebrate mission accomplished, I want to encourage you to capture the moment. I want to encourage you to do something. I want to give you the opportunity to celebrate and to respond to the invitation practically, to celebrate your rescue, whatever it is. As I said at the beginning, there are many of you who are on a journey who have been searching and finding and asking questions and finding out about Jesus, wondering if you want to follow him too. I think that perhaps he's speaking to you today and inviting you to make a decision on Easter Sunday. If he's speaking to you, here's how you can respond. I'm going to pray a little prayer, short prayer, and you can pray it with me. So if you've been searching for Jesus, then this might be the time when you say, okay, I don't understand everything, I don't get it all, but I'm really glad you're out to rescue me, and I want to be rescued. If that's your prayer, then pray this with me. Jesus, I'm sorry for the sin in my life that comes between me and you. I want to choose a different path. I want to turn and walk with you. Thank you for launching that rescue mission. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Please come into my life today, now, and help me to follow you forever. Amen.